All right. Well, welcome everyone to Frontline Fridays, where we explore the hearts and minds of the leaders who elevate the retail industry, retail and hospitality industries to greatness. And what is their secret sauce? We are here to find out. This show is brought to you by Ubik, the AI-powered mobile app that gives frontline teams the performance tools they need to communicate, learn, and work right in the palm of their hand. And I'm Ron Thurston, your host of the show, the author of a book called Retail Pride, and the co-founder of a retail recruiting company called Aussie. And I'm excited to have this conversation because we have a really unique perspective in quick service restaurants. So I'd love to meet or have you meet Ashley Helkin, the driving force behind training at Bonchon Korean Fried Chicken. She oversees training programs, new restaurant openings, and career development, and has launched an online learning and task management system to enhance trust with franchise partners. With a robust restaurant operations background since the age of 15, Ashley excels in supporting teams with her hands-on expertise. Before joining Bonchon, Ashley played vital roles in brands like Cotton Patch Cafe and Dickie's Barbecue, where she developed scalable systems, and renowned for her project management and cross-functional leadership, she bridges language and skill gaps to augment team performance. Ashley holds a bachelor's in business management, an MBA, and a master of science management and leadership, and is an active chart member. So with that, Ashley, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm thrilled that you're here because many of our episodes have focused on specialty retail, but frontline and quick service restaurants and the work that you do employs millions of people. And I think this conversation about the frontline has to include restaurants. So I'm really honored that you're here. You are a Ubik customer, wanted to recognize that and do incredible work. But maybe first, share just what is Bonchon? How big is it? What do you do for anyone that maybe doesn't know the brand?
So Bonchon is, it literally means my hometown. It was based out of Busan, South Korea, and we're renowned for our sauce and our Korean fried chicken, which is this double fried chicken with a really intense crunch to it. But in addition to chicken, we have a full traditional Korean menu along with it. So there's food for everyone. We're nationwide. We have about 145 restaurants stateside, with 20 more on the way this year, and internationally a couple hundred more. So a pretty big worldwide presence for us.
Wow, incredible. And a sense of the kind of total team at all, do you have a sense of kind of what's the size of the front line we're talking about here?
Oh, our front line is a couple thousand, probably 3,500 total.
Yeah. And so your role in learning and development is critical in this industry.
It is. So I'm super lucky to have a team that gets to be hands-on on the front line, opening restaurants, supporting open restaurants, building content, working through communication, and just doing cross-functional work to bring amazing projects to life and make it easy to execute for our team members.
Yeah. And you have a deep history in restaurant, and I would love to just share, you know, a little bit about your story. How did you end up here? I heard it once from you and I was fascinated by this. So kind of give the audience a sense of your background, starting at, I guess, 15 years old.
Yeah, I was young, and there was a local restaurant, and they hired me because they needed people, and they didn't fire me because they needed people when they very much should have. And I learned a lot from making every mistake possible. Not a lie, they should have fired me a million times. And ended up going from this local restaurant that grew to a couple, getting to open restaurants and train for them, kind of not mom and pop style, but independent owners. And then moved over to the Darden brands, working for a specialty concept of Bahama Breeze, and got this really intensive immersive experience with a mega brand. And from there, just fell in love with restaurants and restaurant people, and have spent most of my career in restaurants. Took a small break to go to school and do consulting work, but came right back as soon as I was done.
Yeah. And what do you love about it? I guess I'd love to know, what do you love and what are the misconceptions about the restaurant industry?
I think I love that it's about fun. It's a party every night. Literally, it's like a house party where you invite people into your home and you take good care of them. And there is this subset of people who both love and despise their jobs, and it's competitive, and you know, somebody wants to make more money or do something faster, and then you go out and have fun with them and clean up and do it all again the next day. And these people are, I mean, everything in restaurants tries to kill you. It's either slippery, sharp, or on fire. And that you think about that when you're out to eat and somebody's being really nice to you. They work in an environment that's trying to kill them, and they do it with grace and speed and fun and hospitality. And it's just a different type of person. And they're my people. It's my tribe.
Wow. And so what are some misconceptions about this industry?
I think the misconceptions are that it's not a real job. That, you know, you'll see a bartender or a server and you're like, when you get a real job, because it's not a salary paycheck, but they work harder. They know more things than a lot of real jobs. They have to understand money and customer service and speed of service. And restaurants are actually this really cool business where we run a manufacturing facility in our back of the house and a retail establishment up front. And the people who work in this business have to understand how those two industries collide at this expo window where food is handed over. And it's just a totally different experience than you'll get in almost any other industry. So it's very much a real job.
It's very much a real job, as is retail. But you're right. There's a level of complexity of manufacturing and creating things that require safety, require a level of freshness, consistency. There's just all of this that actually adds a layer that in specialty retail, we don't have. Yeah. It's actually even harder. What you're describing is even harder than working in a store that's selling product that they received on a truck. You're actually creating the product at the same time.
The front of the house team, really, I mean, they deal with the public, which, as we know, can be brutal. And they get the brunt of everything the guest is upset about. So they don't like their food. They don't like the weather. They don't like the music. They really have to just take it in with grace and still provide an excellent experience. And it's just some of the most resilient people. They're fascinating.
Everything about this is fascinating. And so I guess, speaking of front of house, because there's also a unique complexity here, is, you know, there's not necessarily crossover in skill, front of house to back of house. So if I'm a trained chef, I'm not necessarily going to move into waiting tables. Yeah. So there are very distinct skill sets in a restaurant. And if you could, like, tell us more about that, because I think it's really interesting.
Well, I think the personality type, the person who chooses to work in a manufacturing facility is not the person who goes for retail, right? One person's much more gregarious. The other person typically likes head down production work. And there is some crossover. The one thing most restaurant people have in common is that we're chaos junkies. So we just like constantness of change. But the skill sets are different. And when you have two vastly different skill sets of people who stand on concrete and work over fire, where it's really hot and really sharp, and they're just production the whole shift, and they're getting yelled at, are you know, asked a bunch of questions in a loud environment, that's one type of person. And then the other type of person who has to interact with the back of the house, ask for what they need, and then turn around and be friendly and kind and able to multitask and just be of service. It's two very different personalities, and they have to work together really well. So it can be a challenge, but it's a huge skill builder. I would encourage anyone to work in restaurants for a little bit of time.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And really, you're right. When you just think about real jobs and real careers, I really can't think of anything that's more complex than this. Yeah. Because there's so many layers to what a successful restaurant is, whether it's more on quick service or whether it's luxury, it's highly complex.
Yeah. And we also sell a subjective product, right? That a shirt, you know what it looks like, or a, you know, anything on a shelf, you know what it looks like, you may can touch it. Food, you have to trust the person that sells it to you and hope that spicy means the same thing to you as it does to me, that good or fresh, that it all means the same thing. So how do we bridge that gap and connect? And it's a specific skill set to sell something that you know, red is always red, but spicy isn't always spicy.
Right. And I remember you sharing around just the cost differentiating. So if I don't like my food, you give me new food potentially.
Yes.
If I buy this polo and I don't like it, I return it. You give me my money back.
Yeah. And so and then you can resell that shirt.
Right. You can resell it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially for franchise organizations where our owner operators, that's their money. That when you return food just because it's not what you thought or you didn't like it, they literally have to throw it away and make you something else for free. It's a very different cost than if you return a shirt that either you can return for credit or get your money back and they can resell, or that piece is factored in as waste. It's a much more complicated system.
Right. And so through all this, your years of being in this industry that you clearly love, and that's why I love speaking to you, where has this influenced training? So here you are also developing, creating, delivering incredible training through UBIC and through other platforms. So how has this experience influenced your training?
I got immersed into restaurants early, and my friends were restaurant people. My husband now is a restaurant person. And this level of being of service changes who you are. But being in the restaurant, and I've spent years working in restaurants, to understand how hard it is to keep a smile when somebody's rude to you, or when you're stressed out, or when something catches fire, or anything happens, that it changes your, for me, it changed my level of empathy as a person. But also it changed how I see training, that I got really lucky, and I made mistakes that when I tell people about them, they've never heard someone do something so idiotic or randomly bad. But I was given this grace of, if you're going to break it, here's how you fix it. And so I'm no longer scared of table visits or upset guests, because I've done the worst, right? And the process of apologizing and fixing it is pretty much the same. Like, the details may change, but everybody wants the same thing. And so I think in our role as trainers here at Bonchon, but any restaurant, that we understand how it works, right? Not just think about if we want to do a course for a Fry team member, that they're in a kitchen. They're not coming in early. We don't have the finances for that. Like, franchise restaurants don't always have money to bring people in. So they look at it while they're frying, so they can't hear it. So how do you train when they can't hear what you're trying to tell them? And then how do they fit it into their day? How do we weave that in so they get everything they need, but only what they need, and they can get it exactly when they need it? That's from working in restaurants and to understand the challenges that come with it.
Mm. And that builds trust, you know, as you and I were speaking about earlier. So this idea of, you understand the pain points of my role. How can you deliver training, therefore, that fits my needs? Not what you think my needs are, but here are my real needs. And then I'm building trust with you that you understand that and can create training that's appropriate. Because it's also, you're creating training for a specific job, you know, in a specific part of the restaurant. And so you're not training. I'm saying that because often on the retail side, there's a lot of cross training. We're going to train everyone how to ring on the register. We're going to train everyone to do inventory. We're going to train everyone how to fold and keep the store neat. That's not actually true in your business. Yeah. And so you're training unique things, specific people with specific jobs, which adds, again, another layer of complexity in training.
There's not. And on the counter service side of our business, there's a lot more back and forth. But on the table service side, it's a lot more difficult, because you don't want your servers washing dishes. That's not their skill set. It's not their personality style. They'll be miserable. Their outfits don't warrant it, right? The safety gear is very different. But you and I were talking earlier that trust is a resource, and it's as much of a resource as food. It's as much of a resource as equipment or as time or as money, that if they don't trust us, then it doesn't matter. And so what we did first was we leaned into communication and trust building before we leaned into traditional course training. That we had to listen to them of, what do you need? What can you absorb? And then we tried to meet them where they were. And then when we started building trust, we could ask more of them. But they were also more willing to tell us the truth about what worked and what didn't. And that's the dream, right? As a trainer, you want someone to be honest about what's not working instead of going, that's great, and either not doing it or doing it wrong. So,
right.
And I'm super lucky that I work for an organization that believes that trust is a resource. And we talk a lot about and do a lot of work around trust building internally and with our franchise partners.
Mm-hmm. And did you do that by just spending time in the restaurant, learning your own background?
We did.
So when you said you didn't just copy paste training, you actually needed to go in and see how they spend their time, what they do, and have them tell you what they need.
We did. We also have this mix where subject matter experts are great. Everybody loves a good SME, but sometimes those guys are too smart for their own good, right? And that there's this old saying in restaurants that you can have the best food and drink in the world, but if you can't sell it, you're still stuck with the best food and drink in the world. Same thing with training and processes. You can have the best process in the world, but if you can't sell it, if you can't fit it into their day, then you just have this good process that doesn't mean anything, that's not being used. And so we take, super lucky. We have some 10-year team members that are from Korea or in the States working with us. And we partner them with people who really don't know a lot, like new frontline team members, to fill in those gaps. And then we go out and we test it and we thoroughly vet it. And our big process is, can we break it? And if we can break it, how do we either prevent it from breaking or fix it when it does? And It's built a lot of trust, but it also allows us to learn more about our end user and meet them where they are, which has been pretty cool.
Really cool. And the workforce is very diverse.
So, yes.
You know, Korean chicken, you know, and then the variety of languages, racial backgrounds, education backgrounds. I mean, the list is vast of who you're training.
So most restaurants that I've worked in, it's primarily English and Spanish speakers. And so translation isn't very hard. There's typically somebody in the restaurant who can help translate. And then even if you produce content, there are translators out there, but somebody has to vet those translations to make sure they mean the right thing. But our workforce here is, it's kind of all over the board. And so we do use Ubix translation software, which has been great for us. And so we leaned into communication first. But we also took a different approach and said, what is the universal language? And it's visual. So we do a lot of iconography. So, you know, this image means wash your hands, and this image means change your gloves, and this image means keep it warm or keep it cold or take its temperature. So that even if you have a manager who speaks one language and a team member who speaks another, they can look at the same content and know they're seeing the same thing. And we learned early on that culturally, there are some things, I have no idea that the thumbs up symbol in some cultures is offensive. So not all icons work, but because we built the trust, people were able to tell us and we could pivot pretty quickly.
Yeah. And what does success look like for you? So, you know, again, company owned versus franchise, you know, table for service versus counter service, the success of, again, I'm imagining feels really complicated because success looks different in every touch point here.
Yeah. I know a lot of training professionals look at compliance because it's one of the only tangible things that you can point to say my training was good because so many people choose to engage in it. But training should be designed to drive an impact. And so right now we're on a perfect chicken mission. So system-wide, we all have undergone chicken training and we are focusing on it in the field. And so success looks like impact, that are people doing the right processes, are they getting the right results, and are guests enjoying those results? And that the metrics that drive those, this is going to be controversial, I'm not that concerned if somebody took a course. I mean, it's helpful, would love it, but we have a variety of resources in Ubik, you know, in our system, as well as posted in the restaurant and just available, that as long as they have the impact for the guest, that's how we drive it.
Yeah. And as I'm sure there are metrics around that, repeat business and growth and all the KPIs that we all, you know, kind of live and die by. But all of that creates impact in business. And again, if I'm a franchise owner, I want to make sure I have the most successful business possible. How do I, maybe I'm a first-time franchise owner. I don't really understand all the metrics or all the training that's available or how to hire and retain all of these people. So you're coming in and saying, here are all the best practices. Here are all the resources available. Here are things that you can do to make sure that you're successful. But I mean, what a great partnership that you've got to be able to make sure that these people have, that bought a business can do this. And I think you mentioned to me, many of them have multiple franchises, correct?
We have a lot of franchisees that have multiple units with us and that also have other restaurant concepts. So on one hand, that's really helpful that they have this vast experience, but we fry chicken very differently than anywhere I've ever worked. So sometimes that's a hurdle. So how do we take what they're great at and then sell them on what makes Bonchon specific and really special? And that I will say that I'll go head to head with any other business and say that our franchisees are the most passionate people in the business. They love the brand. They really want to do the right thing. And so as long as we give them the resource to figure out how to do the right thing, they'll buy in every time. And that our leadership team, a couple of them have had, you know, our head of operations, she owns her own restaurant on the side. They're not Bonchons, but she understands what it's like to be a business owner in this environment. And it builds that trust, but it also builds the connection of this works in this restaurant, but that's not, it's not just not how we do it at Bonchon, but this is how we do it and why we do it and the impact that works this way. Right. So it's been a cool way to connect.
Huh. And then how else do you share this as an industry? You know, organizations, retail is as an industry, does a really nice job on all the conferences and all of the work that many of us do sharing best practices. What are you doing for that?
So personally, I'm a member of CHART, which is a Council of Hotel and Restaurants Trainers. It's an association of hospitality trainers. And we have this mission just to steal shamelessly, right? That a rising tide lifts all boats and that we move forward together. So we're not reinventing any wheel, right? We keep what's proprietary close, but it's really culture and product that drive the difference. But a fryer is a fryer, or thermometers are thermometer, knife skills are knife skills. And so instead of having to start from scratch at any new brand, we just share it. And that mentality is shared in a lot of restaurants to understand what's special and proprietary versus what are best practices. And you learn things about turnover and engagement and new skills to use and what works and what doesn't. I shouldn't have to figure out for myself that a voiceover course for kitchen doesn't work when there's a vast amount of people who say they can't hear in the kitchen, right? Mm-hmm. So we can just move forward all together as an industry.
Yeah. And I think my follow-up to that is, how do you develop then great leaders, future leaders in this business? Because you also, I think, often come from restaurants where you know, the skills your leadership skills require you to actually have a very wide skill set. So how do you develop that? How do you make sure that people are prepared to move into leadership roles across the industry, not just at Bonchon?
Yeah, I think that's the $1 million question for anybody in the industry. And that one of the things that, I mean, we all know turnover is at an all-time high. And that it's worse, it's way higher for restaurants. Like if you gave me your retail metrics, I guarantee we'll double it. And so I heard long ago
that says a lot.
It's scary, right? But that if this is going to be your first job, or if this is going to be a 3-month job, let's make it your best first job. Let's make it your best 3-month job. So if you stay, you stay. If you don't, hopefully somebody else has made it a great job and you come to us. But we really look at the skills behind a practice. So guest service skills isn't about how to make somebody who comes into a Bonchon smile. It's about how do you engage with the public and meet them where they are. And that's just basic leadership skills of respect, sense of urgency, balancing time, having pride in the work that you do, and learning how to do it while having fun. And just the basic life skills. Traditionally, restaurants have been hourly, shift supervisor, manager, GM, multi-unit. And I never wanted that. I grew up in restaurants, never wanted that trajectory. But doors open because there are skill sets. They need training and you go, hey, I know how to do this. Or they need marketing and hey, let me go market. There's all these doors open. And if you're with a company that allows you to capitalize and showcase and train you, that's great. So how do we provide that for our teams? Some of it's just making information available and being transparent about where we can help.
Yeah. And do you find great GMs of bigger restaurants, some of the others that maybe you've worked in, come from either front of house, back of house? Like what's a, describe a successful restaurant GM. What's their skill set?
I think their skill set's both. I was never good in the kitchen. I cannot fry chicken very well, but I was taught how to watch the frying process and to understand the mechanics of it to know where it breaks down. So somebody who's open to understanding the manufacturing side, whether or not you can do it, and to understanding the service side, whether or not you can do it, that's the best. So it doesn't matter which one they come from. I think historically, a lot of great GMs have come from the back of the house because they understand the number side. But more and more, especially as tech has come a long way and that your point of sale system has numbers in it, you can train front of the house easier on numbers. And that this skill set of team building and engagement, energy level, that's come more full circle and you see that more. But the biggest one is anybody who's malleable to both sides makes the best leader.
Yeah, because you can't avoid one or the other.
Yeah.
You actually need to be highly engaged in both all the time.
You literally cannot.
I think you cannot. And so I'm making assumptions based as primarily a customer, but I'm looking at it and saying, if I don't understand how all of that works and timing and ordering systems and processes and the manufacturing, if I don't understand that, I can't then deliver the experiences I want for my customer in the front of house. Because you can't describe the process. So there's this sense of like a level of expertise that comes in both sides of this business that is not necessarily aligned always to retail. I was, as a GM or as a multi-store leader, things like doing inventory or some of the other back of house processes, not my expertise. I'd spent all of my time front of house. I didn't really have to know how all of it worked to deliver great service. But that's not true in your business. You actually have to understand all of it.
Yeah, especially with turnover, you can't trust. Back in the day, you had life or kitchen guys who could take your inventory and write your schedule, and then you could read the data and adjust. But just right now, you have to be able to be good enough at everything and then to identify where you're not and fill those gaps with people who can.
Yeah, and jump in maybe where you need to.
Yeah.
Because of high turnover. Just jump in and fry some chicken.
Right.
Any advice you would give to people as we wrap up here that like love this business and want to grow their careers in the restaurant side? What advice do you have for them as someone that's done it?
I would say ask questions, right? That, and if you're in a place where your questions aren't being asked, find another place. That for the most part, everybody wants to share what they know. And that the restaurant, if you think about it, we deal with real estate, we deal with sales, we deal with construction, deal with supply chain, marketing, finance, anything you want almost, we can teach you in restaurants. And so bring your passion and ask the right questions or ask questions and hone them to the right questions. And, your career can go wherever you want. You'll get experience, even if you don't stay with that brand, you have this entry level experience that you can carry over into almost any other industry.
Yeah. And there are thousands and thousands of opportunities. Restaurants are everywhere, just like retail. Yeah. Everywhere you look, there's an opportunity for a career that goes on.
And if you can find a restaurant that's not hiring, then that's a unicorn place. But there are always restaurants and there are always restaurants hiring. So opportunities are everywhere.
Everywhere. Where can people find you, Ashley? If they want to ask you some more questions.
Primarily on LinkedIn is where I spend most of my time, just Ashley Helkin. Right. I think I'm the only one.
Well, we'll make sure we put your contact information in the show notes, but it's really a pleasure. Like I'm fascinated by this business, this side of it, the how hard it is, how fast it moves, how it's trying to kill you every day at work, like all of it. And I just think it's so interesting. And I love the stories you tell. So thank you for being on the show.
Thanks. I appreciate your time. And the history you bring in retail helps the restaurant side be better, right? That we are better because y'all honed the salesmanship and the product display. And so we learned just as much from the retail side. So thanks for having me. And thanks for all the work you do to promote hospitality in general.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thanks so much again.
Thanks.
So I will be back in 2 weeks on September, actually a little more than 2 weeks, apologies. It's September 13th after the holiday weekend with Nayla Nash, who's the director of the retail shops at the Ritz-Carlton, and was also just recently part of the launch of the Ritz-Carlton yacht and the experiences that they are creating every day in Ritz-Carlton properties around the country. So be sure to follow Ubik on LinkedIn for show details or go to ubik.com. There's a whole page dedicated to the podcast where you can find every episode on demand, including the YouTube channel, and wherever you listen to your podcast. And if you're searching for next generation communication, micro learning, and task management tools to guide your frontline teams into the future, check out what Ubik can do. Just click on the link in the comments. And with that, everyone, have a great weekend. And I will see you back here on September 13th after the holidays. So thanks, everyone. Thank you again, Ashley.
Thank you.